My brother's wedding was in Hawaii, which sounds very nice, but I'm just not like a Hawaii beachy, sunny, like I like low vitamin D environments. That's me, all right? This is as bright as my world gets. I want to see Hawaiian Wheel of Fortune. I think that would be loads of fun. Here's our next puzzle, just one word, 86 letters. Kalani, we'll start with you. Okay, Pat, I would like to buy an eye. 16 eyes! Look at that! It's amazing! All in a row. Who knew that was possible? That's stunning. See, I can make jokes about the Hawaiian language and they can't say shit because they don't have an S, so.
All right, welcome back. Predictably drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. You just heard Phil Johnson, the great Phil Johnson, musician slash comedian who has actually been a guest on this show before. That bit was about Hawaiian Wheel of Fortune. That's off his latest stand-up comedy special, Pretty from the Back. If you know Phil Johnson, you know why that's funny. He's got hair down to his ass, and he'll walk the Las Vegas Strip walking very feminine with his hair long, and guys around midnight, 1 a.m, will start catcalling him thinking that he's a girl, and then he turns around and shows his manly features, and they freak out. All the more reason why he's a very funny comedian. So you can check him out, philjcomedy.com. That special is out. Once again, Hawaiian Wheel of Fortune, one of the bits that's on there. I actually just listened to that for the majority of that album, and good stuff. So kudos to Phil. Once you're done listening to this one, go back and find the podcast that he was on. He actually sang a song with his guitar live in studio, something about an abortion. I don't remember, but it was on there. I have to go listen to it myself, I guess. Kind of an interesting day for me. I had to go to lovely, godforsaken Berkeley, California, which most people listening to this probably know where Berkeley, California is. I'm based here in the Bay Area. Most of the people listening to this probably have been to Berkeley, California. It's a sign that I'm getting old, I think. I'm now in my early 30s because I used to like going to Berkeley, California. I used to like the smell of the people in Berkeley, California. I used to like the eclectic weirdos that were walking around because you never knew if like somebody was homeless or just a CEO talking on his Bluetooth who happened to be a hipster wearing, you know, holy jeans. You never knew if the person was like talking to themselves or brokering some sort of major deal. It was kind of nice. However, that shit is for when you're young. There's a reason why there's a college there and it's a college town because I haven't spent a lot of time in Berkeley recently. I don't go out to the bars there anymore. I really don't go see, indie rock bands anymore because I fucking have a kid. So I'm not allowed to really go out and do that shit too much anymore. And I had to go there for business today. And I got to tell you, it is probably the worst city I have ever been in. And they took that title today. I had a 15-minute meeting that I was early for by 30 minutes. I ended up being late to the meeting by an hour, okay? So I want you to go ahead and do that simple math and figure out how long that took me to find a goddamn parking spot in this horrible, shitty, fake impression of a San Francisco hippie town that I've ever been in. And that's what Berkeley is, really. It's San Francisco without deodorant. That's what Berkeley has turned into. It's a poser. It's like Pearl Jam to San Francisco's Nirvana, I believe, is probably the best way to describe it. I am no longer a fan of Berkeley. I'm no longer a fan of smelly people who I used to like. I'm no longer a fan of ear gauges. I hated everything by the time I got done with my meeting. I actually, at one point, I saw a guy driving a bus, and I yelled at him instinctually, "Get a job, you dirty hippie," even though he clearly had a job. So it really didn't make much sense. And he probably thought I was just a crazy Berkeley, you know, homeless person myself. But that's what Berkeley does to you, man. It makes you crazy. It makes you absolutely nuts. So I had to get the hell out of there. I had to go back to the friendly confines of the crime-ridden city of San Jose, California, so I could do my job in part, which is to bring you this lovely podcast that you're listening to today. And in fact, my guest this week, the reason I have him on, well, there's a few reasons I'm having him on, but one of the main reasons I have him on is due to his job history himself. I'm going to bring him in right now. You can find him on ChristopherPilney.com. He is a humorist out of Nashville, Tennessee, not originally, but he is a transplant there, which I'm assuming, having been to Nashville, that if you're a transplant to Nashville, that at one point you were kidnapped and then just dropped off in Nashville, or did you go there yourself, Christopher Pilney? Was that a choice you decided to make on your own?
I thought I was going to become the next Tim McGraw. That was the reason I ended up in Nashville. I thought I could sing country music.
So this was a talent that you have, or just is it one of those things where you're like, hey, growing up, I know I can sing. People knew you could sing, or was
it? No, I mean I'm really bad at singing, and I was just I was just delusional enough to think that I could go to Nashville and become a country singer. I mean, it was just one of those like really egotistical, like up in your head, like, oh man, I'm going to be this famous something, having no clue what you're actually good at. And then when you go to actually try to sing, people are like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? I can sing maybe one song, and it's a Johnny Cash song, but that's only drunk and at karaoke. So
I think everybody can sing a Johnny Cash song, though. I mean, right. That was your litmus test. So just to kind of give this, you know, there's a big heavy sports audience that listen to this, Christopher.
Sure.
That would be like declaring yourself for the NBA draft and then trying to shoot a basketball afterwards and being like, oh shit, you know what? I'm not very good at basketball. I mean, you kind of put the cart before the horse thinking I'm going to be a music singer and then forgot the part about being able to sing. Yeah.
Dude, it was all about girls. I was at this camp my junior year of high school, and it was like this camp where they really pump you up and make you feel good about yourself, and they have this talent show at the end. And I told them, oh, I'm going to perform. I'm going to sing something. And I did, and I'm sure if I went back now, I mean, it would just be terrible. But, like, everyone was, like, just, like, hopped up on something the whole time while we were there that everyone thought it was great. And they're like, oh, my God, you're so good. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually good at this. And then I went to a music school and found out just how bad I was at it. But it took me a long time to figure out what the hell I was going to do with myself.
What were these your friends, or were they just like, oh, you know, fuck Christopher Pilney. We'll get him to think that he's a country music star. And then, so where are you from? Where are you from originally, if not Tennessee?
They were not friends. They were actually, a couple of them were like Miss USA pageant girls. And so I was freaking out.
Oh, God.
A junior in high school at an all boys Catholic school. And these like cute pageant girls are saying that I can sing. Yeah. And I'm like, well, shit, this is what I need to be doing. But I'm originally from Rhode Island. The, you know, small state that no one has ever been to. I don't know if you have, but there's really not much to see there except the ocean and, I guess some clams, if you want to have some.
Are you talking about the beauty pageant girls when you say clams? So fuck those bitches. So they're just, you know what? They're probably fat and have herpes now. So you get the last laugh. You got out of Rhode Island. They're eating clams and all kinds of empty, you know, simple carbohydrates. How mean. But you moved to Nashville. You're there now. You've been there for a while, yeah?
Almost 10 years. 10 years in a month.
So Nashville's your home. You went down there originally to be a music star. It didn't work out. What was the next plan? What was after music star?
The next plan was to be a doctor. My mom's a dentist. So in between there, I went from country music to I want to be a travel writer. And then I was like, I don't know how the fuck you get into travel writing. So I'm going to go into medicine. My mom's a dentist. And so I've always kind of had this thought that I might be a doctor. And so I started going down the pre-med road, and I found myself really just – I mean, I did well in science, but I didn't have any passion for it. And so by the hand of God or whatever you want to call it, I got dumped by a girl my fifth year of college because I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do with myself. Really annoying set of events happened, and I kind of ended up working at Victoria's Secret.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, is why one of the main reasons I have Christopher on this show. I do want to back up a little bit. Christopher sure. Pilney, you can find him on ChristopherPilney.com. He is a humorist, which I kind of find it hard to define what a humorist is, but I read your blogs, I read your articles. Christopher is a very talented writer, very funny. In fact, one of the things that he wrote about was going to med school, not to become a doctor, but really just to tell people that he was in med school and that he's studying to become a doctor, which I think is brilliant. I think about 75% of the people who are in med school, that's exactly why they're there. I laughed really hard at that line. So good job to you. Very talented writer, ChristopherPilney.com. You can find some of his stuff here. So you end up, through a stroke of fate, pun sort of intended, working at Victoria's Secret, which has got to be one of the – it's like seeing a unicorn, seeing a gentleman work at Victoria's Secret. So what did you do at Victoria's Secret? How did you end up working there?
Okay, how I ended up working there – so backing up to your comment about the med school thing, when I look back now, it's like most of the careers that I chose for myself early on were all so I could get in girls' pants. And eventually, by the end of it, I was like, I might as well just sell what's in girls' pants because and remove the middleman. So I
will see panties, damn it, at some point.
So, no, I mean, it was a little more complicated than that. I got dumped, and when I got dumped, I did what most science geeks do. I went to a conference and presented my research and made out with my lab partner. And what's crazy about this conference is like how much booze they had at it. Like I would never think that a bunch of scientists would just have a keg sitting in a stream, but they did. So we got wasted. Anyways, I came back and thought, oh great. Like chicks like me, I'm just going to go find a new girlfriend. And literally, no girl on campus would like go near me. Like I failed left and right out at bars. And then on top of this, like no matter where I went, I was getting hit on by gay dudes. Like it, not that like there's anything wrong with that, but it like, it was just, I was at such like a sensitive point at that time. Like, just didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. I couldn't get girls, but then like all these, like men were coming up to me and like grabbing my butt at bars or like asking me to go home with them. And I was like, what is the universe trying to tell me right now?
Did you at least get some free drinks out of it?
No, I got my tie yanked a bunch of times when I was hanging out at a bar. No, I mean,
see, there's your problem. You're out at a bar wearing a tie. You might as well have worn that rainbow flag that everybody put on their face on Facebook this week.
I don't know what it was. I think part of it was I lived with my best friend at the time in this townhouse. And we're not like effeminate in any way, but like we were living together and we had a hot tub, and I felt like this place that we rented came with a hot tub, and I feel like it somehow just broadcasts to the world that, hey, these dudes like dudes because they're living together and they have a hot tub.
Yeah, they put bubbles in their butt. Yeah, I get it.
And it was like I used to go out in the hot tub and just like read. And this neighbor of ours would come over, he'd like peer over the fence at me and be like, hey, my leg really hurts. Can I come in there? And I'd be like, no, like, go away. And he came over a bunch of other times. So
you're like, go away, homo. This is our time.
This is all like snowballing. And then on top of it, I start like sprouting these like nipple bud breasts, like these really tender lumps under my nipples. And so I'm like, I can't get girls. And I feel like I'm starting to become one. So I really start freaking the fuck out. And somewhere in there, I just decided I need to go study women. And so I thought, where the hell can you go to do that? And there's really not many places you can go outside of like a brothel, maybe a sorority house. But even there, you're limited on the women that are going to be around you. So it just so happened that Victoria's Secret actually does hire men.
Wow.
And straight men. They do not make you take a gay litmus test or anything like that when you go to apply. They hire all men. And they hired me to work as a cash register person, but that eventually turned into someone who could work on the floor and help customers find things, et cetera, et cetera.
So a couple things. The man boobs, did those go away ever, or did they continue to grow?
They did. And I think, well, okay. So even here's the most embarrassing part of that is I think that they were related to soy. I was eating a ton of edamame at the time. And apparently soy has a high amount of phytoestrogen in it.
Phytoestrogen, which... absolutely. My audience is, sorry to cut you off, my audience is an expert in phytoestrogen because on this very podcast last week, Christopher, I read an article about how IPAs, India Pale Ale, has, they're very hoppy, right? Very heavy in hops to brew that beer. Also has a lot of phytoestrogen in it. So my favorite beer are, all of our favorite beers are giving us man boobs and making us impotent. So I,
well, that is why I hate IPA then. I mean, I it's my least favorite kind of beer, but I have not really touched soy since this incident because I don't know. I don't know what caused it, but I went to the doctor at this time, not because of the boobs, but because I was sick. And it was like, my doctor is usually like this husky linebacker dude, and in walks this like pretty good looking woman, and I'm thinking like, well, I wanted to ask the dude about like what's going on with these nipples, and but I'm like, now am I gonna ask this woman, like she's you know I don't know,
it's gonna ruin my chance with her.
I'm already like striking out with every other woman in the town, so I might as well just say it. So like she checks me up for the flu and whatnot that I had at the time. And I'm like, okay. She's like, is there anything else? And I was like, okay, this is going to sound crazy, but I think I'm growing breasts. And so she looked at me like, all right, like, you know, so she said, lift up your shirt, like, and let me feel. And I was like, dear God. And so she like starts rubbing my nipples. And then she like backs away and kind of looks at me and she's like, there's nothing there. And so I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this whole time, these things have been like wreaking havoc on me, and the moment I need them most, they disappear.
Your tits went away.
They were gone. They had gone away. I don't know. It was like, and she just kind of. I was so embarrassed. I mean, I don't know if I've ever been more embarrassed at a doctor.
You should have led with the fact that you were in med school, and then maybe it wouldn't have been so awkward to be like, "Look, my diagnosis, having been in med school."
I was unfortunately only super senior in college at that point, but I definitely imagined that I was a very imaginative person thinking that I was going to be a doctor and have all sorts of houses on Nantucket and whatnot. But yeah, so I ended up after all of that charade, taking the job at Victoria's Secret, which was really fun telling my parents about, working there for a year as a cash register. They call it a cash wrap, like sales clerk, whatever. But I also worked on the floor, which was a little different. Most of the time, they keep the guys in the back, like stocking stuff.
Yeah, with like a restraining order, I would imagine. Now, you say they hire other straight men. Did you ever meet in your year of working there? Did you ever meet another man? Maybe not at your store, but just in the Victoria's Secret hierarchy of anywhere, either at another store or.
You know what? Not in the hierarchy, but 6 months after I started working there, they hired like, because I did so well at the cash wrap, they hired like four other straight dudes to work at the cash wrap. So it was,
and they were probably terrible. I mean, you were probably just like most men you probably should not hire for Victoria's Secret, I would imagine. I but how sexist is Victoria's Secret? Like they're like, okay, we're gonna give this one guy with boobs a shot. But afterwards, if that and it worked out so well that, you know, you're folding thongs and helping people with their lingerie, which I want to talk to you about. But now all of a sudden the floodgates have opened, like, hey, you know what? Dude. These guys are competent, too. We thought it was just women. We're going to hire more. That's kind of sexist.
Dude. Yeah, no, I mean, it was they really like they saw how well I did. And they're like, we're going to hire some more. And it was hit or miss. They had a couple guys. They had a guy before me. I will say that when I walked in. The first night there was a guy in the back, putting sensors in panties. They censor the panties. Like they put sensors in them. So when people walk out,
I gotcha.
There's so much theft at Victoria's Secret. It's insane.
Oh, I imagine
retail jobs. And I have never seen so much theft in my life.
So what do they do? They go in to say, I want to try this on. But meanwhile, they've got like three other pairs that they just kind of put on underneath there, whatever.
Not even that, man. People would literally run in the door, grab like three bras and run away. And like, that's all like, because like they basically in America, because people will sue the shit out of you for libeling them.
Yep.
You can't say anything you know, even if you see them do it, you can be like, hey, you just have to kind of ask them, hey, can I help you with anything? And you can't chase them out of the mall. Like, you can't do anything. So there's really nothing we could do. I mean, people would steal shit and we'd be like, well,
there it goes. Right.
And, you know, whatever. So yeah, if anyone out there needs, some new underwear, just
fucking steal it. Apparently just walk in and take it and censors be damned. So let me ask you, I mean, to cut you off, I imagine you know, again, reading some of the stuff that, you know, another, I got to give you credit. Some of the pieces that you've written have been picked up by, GQ. What are some of the other websites? So you have some, credits, some writing credits to your name, you know, just to kind of let everybody know, if you want, go check it out on ChristopherPilney.com. He wrote, speaking of underwear, he wrote a fantastic piece on Shreddies, which, if you don't know what Shreddies are, their claim to fame is that it will conceal the smell. It'll mask the smell of your farts. So, you know, you're a man, I'm a man. We smell sometimes because of whatever we eat. And just because we're men, we fart. You have a girlfriend and I would like to someday. So it seems like one of those things where it would be great if you could find a pair of underwear that could literally mask the smell of our air shit. And, you wrote a great review. I thought the way you did it was very scientific, going back to your scientific, background there. And, I almost want to give you a doctorate just for that article itself. I was sitting there laughing at my computer, like, my God, this guy is brilliant. And I got to say, you know, I talked a little bit of it off the air, but I get a lot of requests for people to be on this show. And for the most part, they're awful. They're not only awful in terms of guest ideas, but probably just awful human beings in general. And I usually say no, but I, you know, I clicked on your website. I read your stuff. I was sitting there laughing, and I think I got back to you as quickly as I could and said, yeah, I want to have you on. We'll figure out a time to get you on. But my God, you're a funny guy. And that Shreddies article was great. There's an article on there. If you guys are listening to this and you want to go to Christopher Pilney, just click around. You'll find all kinds of interesting stuff. But he's got an article on there about, was it your first day of college? And a nice, pretty girl came up to you. And what happened?
Okay, so this is literally 1 month after the boob ordeal. Like, this is before I work at Victoria's Secret. So I'm thinking, oh, great, a new semester, a new start to my life. Like, this is going to be awesome. And so I go into biochemistry. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting next to one pretty girl, and then behind me is a Tennessee Titans cheerleader, who was exotic and, you know, gorgeous. And
exotic is code word for not white, I assume.
I would not say she's white, but she was stunning.
At least dark hair.
Yeah. Dark hair, dark eyes. Anyways, so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, my odds are looking really good right now. This is awesome. And like 10 minutes into class, I start feeling my stomach gurgle, which is never a good sign. And that's the thing about 8 a.m. classes is, like, my pooping schedule is usually at like between 8 or 9, somewhere in there. So this is like prime, you know, pooping time. And I'm sitting there starting to gurgle, and I'm like, oh, I gotta fart. So it's like 90% of the time it's not that bad, but as I let this one go, it like burnt my asshole, and I knew that it was not gonna be good. And so I sat there, and I mean, this might be like in my top five, like, most vile rips I've ever done. The only other time, the one that tops it, I think, once is one that would have made my girlfriend stop the car and get out of the car one time.
It's a proud moment in any man's life,
dude. Epic. Anyways, so I'm sitting there, and it smells, and I'm like, oh man. Well, you know, it's like being on an airplane, though. It's like, well, there are a lot of people around me. They're not going to know exactly who it is, and I'm like, it'll be gone in like a minute. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, 2 minutes. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, it's still lingering. And I'm like, what is going on? 7 minutes, it's still lingering. Still smells like shit. 10 minutes, still lingering. I'm really starting to worry. And I think what I compare it to in the story, I love Jurassic Park, and it feels a lot like when Samuel L. Jackson's character goes to try to, you know, restart the power. And he doesn't come back, and Ellie Sattler is like, something's wrong. Something's happened. Something's wrong. And that's how I started feeling. And so I like shifted. And when I shifted, I felt a little squish.
Oh.
And I immediately was like, oh no, I shat my pants. And it was like, and it wasn't even that I shat my pants, but I had borrowed my roommate's jeans. Mine were dirty. So I shat in his jeans. And I actually still own them. It's the only pair of jeans I still have, but I still own them. They're amazing.
So you shit in your gay roommate's pants.
He's not gay. He's not gay. I will say that. He's straight.
Dude, you guys own a hot tub. Come on, clearly. okay, so just to recap, you're sitting next to a very exotic Tennessee Titans cheerleader and another very good-looking girl, your first semester of your new year of college. And the first thing that your body does, other than grow boobs, is to literally shit your friend's pants.
Yep, I shit my friend's pants.
Oh my god! We might be related.
I am French. I am French by descent, so there is quite a possibility. I am a Dufour. I know you're a Marcoux, so. Maybe there's something far back there, but there is a possibility.
Yeah, we probably both gave up on something at some point in our lives, so sure. okay, so this is predictably drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. I think that tagline clearly applies to myself and my guest. I'm talking to Christopher Pilney from ChristopherPilney.com. You also run another website. Talk about that other website. What are you guys doing over there?
I'm the editor-in-chief of a actually really big science website called redorbit.com. They were originally from Houston, and they moved to Nashville last year and hired me full-time in November. And so, wow. I mean, it's a dream. It's a dream job. I mean, I sit around finding the leading science stories of the day, assign them, or I write them, like the Shreddies article. You know, it goes back and forth, but it's awesome, man. We put out some really good content.
Yeah, if they're anything the way like you're writing, man, it's good stuff. So check it out, redorbit.com, ChristopherPilney.com. Speaking of Nashville, since they went to Nashville last year, I actually had my debut in Nashville last August, which means it was about 105 degrees with about 300% humidity. I mean, the bat wings with my nutsack just painted to the inside of my legs at all times was insane. But what it was probably, you know, the show's called Predictably Drunk, and I enjoy beer, although not so much anymore now that I know it's going to give me boobs. But I enjoy drinking. It's fun. You know, I do stand-up, which you can catch me on July 8th at the Sacramento Punchline, starting at 8 o'clock. Be there. But you can – so there's a lot of drinking when it comes to stand-up. There's a lot of drinking with the show. All that stuff. So I would say the last time I got just like super amazingly drunk was in Nashville last August. And it ended with me being assaulted on the street by a hot dog vendor. This is a true story. So I was at, there's a bar. If you've ever been to Nashville, I mean, it's a great place to go listen to live music. Even if you don't like country music, there's just, you know, stick around or just go to the next bar. There's something else for you. There's all kinds of crazy musicians. Everybody's really friendly. I will give, you know, Nashville credit for that. And I was at this bar. It was a three-story bar. And I think it's a pretty popular bar down there. And I can't think of the name of it right now. But they have a version of it in the hotel or in the airport as well. But
it's called Tootsie's.
Tootsie's. That's what it was. So I'm up on the third floor of Tootsie's. We're having a great time. The band is letting me sing with them. They're taking my phone and snapping, you know, selfies with me. Everybody's having a great time. It's probably going on about 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to catch a flight to come back to California the next day. So I'm walking on the street and I see a hot dog vendor with a sign that says best meat on the street. Well, I look at it and go, okay, well, you know, those are pretty big words. I'm going to have to take, you know, I'm going to have to take this challenge on. You know,
you weren't even in the red light district.
No, I just left Tootsie's and hung a left, and I was going that way. And this guy was there. I reach back and realize I don't have any cash, so I give him my credit card. He looks at me like I farted in church because he's a fucking street vendor. Of course, he's not going to take a credit card. So I turn to my friend Brian, and it was $3. I go, I need $3. He goes, I got $4. Is that going to work? I'm like, that's more than enough to make it work, but give me the $4. I turn back to the hot dog vendor, and he's gone. He disappeared. And I waited for about 10 minutes, and the line's getting long for the best meat on the street. People are hungry. They're drunk. They want to, you know, they want to eat that grease. So I finally go, you know what? I'm going to give them the $4. So I gave them a generous tip. I grabbed the hot dog bun myself. I grabbed the hot dog myself, and I started, you know, putting cheese and everything onto the hot dog. Well, out of nowhere, this guy eventually just appears again. I think he was, like, underneath the hot dog cart, but he comes and he flipped out thinking that I was stealing his hot dog. And I'm like, dude, I didn't steal your hot dog. Look, the money's right there. He goes, fuck you. Fuck your money. He takes the hot dog out of my hand, throws it in the garbage, takes the money, throws it in the garbage. And I'm like, well, if I don't get the hot dog, you don't get the money. And I'm not above pulling money out of a garbage can. So I reach into the garbage can. I pull out three of the $4. I lost a dollar. I pull out the $3. It's covered in some crumbs or whatever, but whatever. It's salvageable. It's money. And he takes a napkin and he throws it at me. And I'm like, well, that's not very nice. So I take all of his napkins and over-exaggerate wiping myself down because I'm now soaked with his napkin, right? So he gets so mad, and I walk away feeling like I'm triumphant. I stole his napkins. Fuck that guy. And next thing I know, I hear people gasping. They're like, oh, my God, no. And I'm like, what's going on? And I turn back, and I see him holstering that yellow tube of mustard that all hot dog vendors have. And I'm like, what just happened? And I look, and on the back of my shirt and shorts, he had spray painted like a scarlet letter, well, I guess a yellow letter in this case. And he just spray painted me with mustard up and down my clothes. My friend's like, are you going to kick his ass? I'm like, no. And he goes, why not? I go, it's mustard. I don't give a shit. And he's like, but he just ruined your clothes. I'm like, look how mad he is. I'm going to lose a fight to a hot dog vendor over mustard. I'm not about to get my ass kicked over mustard. So we went, we got in the car and we went to White Castle. And I'd never been to White Castle before.
Oh my God.
So we ordered about 30 burgers for $4 because that's an insane deal. And now they need to ask me if there's condiments. And I go, nope. And I took my shirt off and I just wiped the burgers off, you know, onto the shirt and grabbed the mustard. And that was it. And then to this day, I own that shirt and I own those pair of shorts and there's mustard all over them. He stained me. He got me good. But that's my Nashville story. I got mustarded.
First rule of Nashville, you don't fuck with hot dog vendors.
No.
Second rule of Nashville, you don't fuck with coffee baristas. The thing about baristas here in town at the nicer coffee shops is they always, and I'm sure comedians talk about this all the time, but there's a tip line for everything. I think Larry David talks about this in Curb Your Enthusiasm, but like there's a tip for everything now. And it's like, I can go to Dunkin' Donuts and get the same coffee and there's no, you know, thank God Dunkin' Donuts doesn't put a tip line. But if you go to a normal coffee shop in town, there's a tip line. And like, you know, if you don't leave a tip, nothing really happens, but you can just feel it's like a Catholic guilt like weighing over you. And it's not even from yourself. Like you can feel the people, the baristas, just wanting to shit in your cup.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't leave a tip. On Valentine's Day this year, I went to a coffee shop with my girlfriend, and I didn't leave a tip. And I can send you the picture of it later, but I took a picture. The foam that they put in my coffee was literally in the shape of a penis. Like it was like there were balls and there was a cock. Like it was right there in my cup, and I was like, I don't know if they were trying to do a heart, but I don't think so.
No, that they were doing a heart on, I think is what they were doing with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, send me that picture. We'll put it on sammarcoux.com. We'll put it on the Tumblr site, predictablydrunk.tumblr.com. We'll get it out there because that's funny stuff. So, again, we're talking to Christopher Pilney. Now, Christopher, you worked at Victoria's Secret. We talked about that. You are now officially my lingerie expert on this show. You've got websites that you're editor-in-chief of. You've got your own vanity site there with ChristopherPilney.com, which I shouldn't have done that because we're gonna do what I do with a lot of my guests on here. We're going to just play some trivia, right? You're the expert. What I got? I got five questions about lingerie. Okay.
Sure.
And the way this works is, if you get it right, we're going to plug. I'm going to let you go ahead and plug something that you got going on. If it's a spoken word appearance coming up or a website, whatever it is you want to do. If you get it wrong, then I'm going to plug one of my comedy dates or one of my shows or whatever it is that I'm working on. So, as much as I like you as a guest, I'm rooting against you right here. So, these are all going to be multiple choice. So feel free to play at home. And, you ready? We'll start with the first question.
Let's do it.
Okay. So this is experts answering trivia about the stuff they're experts on. I'm going to work on that title. I don't know if that's what we're going to... It's kind of long. All right, question number one. What is the average U.S. bra cup size? Is it A, B, C, D, or D, double D?
I would definitely say in the C range, B.
The answer is D. Wow. It actually was C, so you get partial credit for that, but it has turned to D, I think somewhere in the 90s, and I believe that's probably just due to too much soy. I think that's probably what happened there.
Yeah, probably.
So since you got it wrong, I'm going to tell everybody that you can find me on Friday, July 10th at the Swiss Park for the Fremont Summer Comedy Bash. Myself, Comedy Central's Kabir Singh, who actually just got a writing job on Family Guy, Jeremy Curry, Rudy O from 95.7 The Game, he'll be there as well. Just an outstanding lineup of comedians. Again, Friday, July 10th, Swiss Park. You can get your tickets on KabirComedy.com, Eventbrite.com, or just call me. You know, you guys got my number. Just call me. I'll get you a ticket. All right. Question number two. Where the hell is it? I lost my own questions here. Okay. What percentage of women wear the wrong sized bra? Is it A, 15%, B, 58%, C, 80%, or D, 100%?
Well, I think Victoria's Secret would tell, say, 100% of women. that was always an interesting. I know the number's high. I would say probably. I'm going to go 58%.
The answer is C, 80%, according to most studies. 80%.
Nice.
Man, as from you know about as much about women underwear as I do, and you're my expert.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can probably find me trying to get you out of your underwear on July 15th at the San Jose Improv for the San Jose Improv's 5th annual Summer Comedy Bash. They're way into Summer Comedy Bashes this summer out here in California. That has the great Samuel Bade. You've seen him on Conan O'Brien. You've seen him on America's Got Talent. It also has Kabir Singh, as usual, and myself. So it's going to be a great show. All right, question number three. You got to redeem yourself here, okay? The average woman owns how many pairs of underwear? Is it A, 10, B, 21, C, 32, or D, 47?
I think my girlfriend has at least 132. at least that's what it seems like. I'm going to go with, what were B and C again?
B is 21 and C is 32.
I'm going to go 32.
You know, I would think that would have been my guess too. It's actually 21. So
that was going to be you know what? I should just stuck. I'm going to stick with B the whole time. And then I'll get maybe one right. And I was about to do that. And, of course, I fuck it up. Okay.
I would say trust your gut. But the last time you trust your gut, you shit your friend's pants. So maybe don't do that. All right. So I just changed my website, sammarcoux.com, not a couple days ago. Maybe about a week or two ago. Go ahead, check it out. It's got everything on there from my Instagram to my Twitter, which is a cheap way for me to update the website every single day, even though I don't have actual content because I do the Twitter every day. You can also find this podcast. You're probably listening to this podcast on sammarcoux.com, as well as some of the old articles I've written. I'm going to try. Actually, Christopher, I think, is getting me into the inspired to maybe start writing again after reading his stuff. So you might see some more written works from me. All right, question number four. We got to get something plugged for Chris here. What percentage of French women change their underwear every day, according to the latest polls? Is it A, 10%, B, 45%, C, 60%, or D, 75%? Again, what percentage of French women change their underwear every day?
I didn't know French women wore underwear, as far as I was concerned. Dude, I'm completely lost. I'm gonna pray that it's C on this one.
It is actually D. 75% of all French women change their underwear daily, which means you have a quarter chance of getting with somebody who probably smells like Bigfoot's dick. That's disgusting. I am going to let you plug this time because you said something about how you didn't think any French women wore underwear, otherwise known as going commando, which is actually a great lead-in to our next question. So since you did not know what the next question was going to be, and it was a great transition, I'm going to go ahead and let you plug something for this question.
The pity win. July 22nd, Nashville at the Tin Cup. We are having That Time of the Month as a storytelling show, and we'll also be premiering our new book, collection of essays from all of the best essays from the past 3 years of having the show here in town. It's produced by LA comedian Melanie Bear, who now lives here, and she put together the book and included me in it. So
awesome.
Very honored.
No, that's great. So that's July 22nd at the Tin Cup.
Yep.
All right, there you go. All right, last question, Christopher. This is the question that I need you to get right to keep your title as lingerie expert here in the Predictably Drunk universe. It's like a cabinet position for the presidency here. So question number 5. This is the main reason women give for going commando. Is it A, to please their lovers, B, no panty lines, or C, to avoid crotch rot?
Oh, man. If I get this wrong, I mean...
We'll throw you right off the show.
I folded too many thongs to understand, like, why women do that. And I, you know, the only way I can see is B, through, you know, have no panty lines.
The answer is absolutely B. You got it right. You have absolutely redeemed yourself as the expert here in Lingerie Land, Predictably Drunk. So there you go. So, and actually, that's another great article that I've read from you is, how to properly fold a thong. I'll link to that one too. That was a funny article, but you got, enough of me talking. Let's get one last plug in for you. Whatever you'd like to plug for getting that correct answer.
Just go check out redorbit.com. It's a great science site. We have lots of really cool, fun, informative science, space, tech, health content. Some of my favorite stories we run are my personal favorite, obviously my Shreddies piece. But we also, one of my writers did one, Can You Get an Erection in Space? We tend to write a lot of articles related to either dicks or poop. So there's something on there always to have fun, but it is also very informative. So check it out, redorbit.com.
You know, that is a great, that I'm going to read that. I've never had that thought in my head, but now that you've asked that question about getting an erection in space, now I need to know the answer. So that is, that's a great, I haven't even read it yet. And I'm intrigued. So, Christopher, thank you very much, for coming on the show here tonight. This will be, God, I don't know, episode 25, whatever it is. You guys can check out Christopher on ChristopherPilney.com. Read his stories. He's a funny guy. You can check me out on, did I plug all the dates here in July? If you're listening to this right away, you can find me July 3rd at Tommy T's in Pleasanton. I'm doing 2 shows, late show, early show. Get there, enjoy me. I'm very funny. You guys know that. I'm gonna scour Christopher's website and steal all the funny stuff and become even funnier. It'll be a great time. Christopher, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your night. This is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things. Until next time, everybody.